Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at resonanttruth.com. Today on the Zolk'in count is called White Electric World Bridger, and it is the third day of the Yellow Seed Wave Spell. And it is the spectral moon, day 8. And it is Mother's Day. I've been a bit delayed. Not because of any kind of Mother's Day activities, just because I felt like you were going to be delayed coming to the listening booth, so I didn't feel as much of a pressure to be timely, and I actually had such an exciting red lunar serpent that I was just basking in it and recovering from adding something new to my schedule, which was seeing live music. I went to a show outside in a meadow with people near me, no face masks on, dancing for 4 hours. All the hippies, all the tie-dye, all the loose garments, all the tribal wear, and especially all the Grateful Dead iteration t-shirts. I felt like that was the most spectral part. It was just like, okay, these are all deadheads, but they each in turn have a singular t-shirt from the massive entrepreneurial endeavor that surrounds the deadhead movement. Beautiful t-shirts of all kinds. I was so happy, my people, and I would find them super annoying if I went on a long, long tour trailing around like a gypsy, but after 1 year, the last show that I saw was the same band, and it's been 14 moons, and I am revived, and the vibration is super high, and I feel very unstoppable, and that is the gift of live music. And also, I was vaccinated, and I guess it was in the last few days, and I did get really sick from my vaccine both times, and I'll talk about that in a minute in the Mayan context, but I felt like going to the show, which wasn't really planned around the vaccine. I thought the vaccine would keep me from going to shows. But I made it to one, and I was like, okay, my pandemic is over. You know, it's a state of mind for me to just recognize, like, I've done my part. I did my part, and I need to get back to life, you know. And I'm not an extrovert, so I'm not going to be ruining anyone who's not vaccinated's experience by transmitting some kind of carrier germ. I mean, I don't think that I can, but you know, I'm not talking about trying to be some kind of super libertarian. I'm just saying, like, what do I have to mourn and hide from? You know, I can let myself out of some of this, like, recessive dominance. And I just loved being around these people. So, thanks for listening. That was part of my yellow seed experience. I'll try to get into the Mayan astrology, flower people, flower children. You know, I find the yellow seed descriptors really lacking when I try to talk about it publicly. I always talk about how I have a yellow seed daughter. It's Mother's Day. And so I learn a lot about, you know, the Mayan tribes from the people that inhabit them in my life. And yet I think it's just elusive when you're talking about plant life, because it's nonverbal, it's extremely sensory, and my daughter's super verbal. It's not that. It's just like what I want to say about her and what I want to say about the wave spell is pretty much the same, which is just like, I don't know. It's just beautiful and powerful and really alive, really simple, but simple, like not complex, but just, you know, not posturing, not putting on a big show, just really radiant. And that feels great. And I don't know how that plays out in a wave spell is my point. Although maybe that was the experience that I had at my show, was some of that, you know, not posturing, just, you know, being connected to the earth, which is what it's like dancing on the grass. And then being a flower in the world, which is a Thich Nhat Hanh idea that I discovered when I was 30. And I just thought, oh, well, okay, I get that. Being a flower in the world means trying to bring some beauty and grace as you move through it. It means physical attractiveness if you can put some effort into that. And it means being peaceful. But I think it also just means like really owning your strain of flora. Like be the flower that you are. You know, unfurl, shine towards the sun, absorb the light, you know, have an alchemical change, grow toward enlightenment. Those are all sort of flowery, yellow seed, plant life ideas that we could ponder in this time. And I'll try to pay attention so I could get some kind of grip on, you know, like, no, this is the yellow seed stuff. This is when you go through yellow seed time, this is what it's like. I'm going to say a few more things that make sense to me, just like in the yellow seed time, being really sensitive to the sun. And I don't think I mean sunburn. I mean responding to it, having a relationship to it. And to night and day, just see how you yourself are plant-like and porous and photosynthetic and sensitive, delicate, yet resilient, and how you're the seed and the seedling and the sprout and the shoot, and you know, then ultimately you produce flower and fruit. Okay, and then the other really major thing that we don't want to miss out on is today, Mother's Day, is the first of our 10 portal days that are held in the yellow seed time. And I'm not going to talk about my whole theory about the yellow seed portals, because I have in the past, and I do have more podcasts that I can choose to trot that out. Right now, I just want to really remind you of what a portal is, because this first one hits us right away. Like, why don't this day, there was something going on. You know, of course, it was Mother's Day. So you can remember it. You can think about what the portal was on Mother's Day. Portal, as I first experienced it as a young initiate, is you're going through your day, and then all of a sudden there's like, mine, this is super boring. I'm still doing a house renovation. That's my Mother's Day present to myself. Keep going. I needed to get a Diet Coke. Yes, I drink that, like Donald Trump. Sometimes I do. I needed caffeine. It was in the afternoon. I went down to the prison soda machine and put my quarter in, and ate my quarter, and I was wise to it. Like, I'm not giving you another quarter, so I'm not having a soda. And I went home, and I really didn't think I had it in me to keep going without caffeine. And I don't know what happened, but there was a portal, and I went through the portal, and I did like some phenomenal stuff that I've been avoiding for weeks. So, okay, I'm not going to tell you what that is, how boring. I just felt it. I'm like, oh, this is like the olden days where the portal is palpable and it feels like a shift. Not maybe of consciousness, but just like you get through it because there was a wall and then the wall dissolved and you found the doorway. The doorway's offered to you. You don't have to look. You just go, oh, whoa, that's trippy. I thought I was totally stopped here where I am. And I just found the barrier is gone and I'm going right on through. That's what a portal day is to me. It's also really like an intense day or a great day, a deep day. White electric world bridger will be a distinct kind of portal. Blue self-existing hand will be another kind of a portal. And then listen to them as they roll out. There's yellow overtone star. I mean, that'll be a portal to remember. Red rhythmic moon. White resonant dog. That's a good portal, right? Blue galactic monkey. Yellow solar human. And then red planetary skywalker. White spectral wizard and blue crystal eagle. Those are our 10 portals. And each one obviously will have some of that dissolving doorway stuff and intensity and greatness, but each one will have a flavor. I really know what my white electric world bridger portal was because I had it in my conversation with my mom. And it wasn't the same as just like, what the hell just happened? There was a wall, now there's a door. I kicked a hole in a wall in communicating with my mom on Mother's Day. And that was the death there. That was the death of limitations in that conversation. And the world bridge was our communication. So that was different than this kind of like prototypical portal thing I experienced later in the afternoon. Around the Diet Coke at the soda machine by the prison. I always just want to really emphasize how not New Age I am. Because I think I was, and I think I'm definitely a hippie, but I'm just not a purist. It's not possible. So there you go. I also had a tiny hit of a cigarette before the soda attempt. So awesome. Talk about death of limitations. Me just blowing my cover here in the podcast. Okay. If anyone wonders, I am sober, though. I'm sober for years and years. So, yellow seed. I think that's complete. I think we just need to leave that lie. And spectral stuff. You know, definitely spectral is a trip hippie feeling. I was in an environment at the Deadhead gathering that would be super spectral in any moon, but it was probably emphasized in its wonder and splendor by it being the spectral moon. Again, that positive spectral approach is just like, I'm fucking falling apart in the best way. Like, I'm letting go, I'm letting God, I'm surrendering, I'm reaching for the experiences that are transcendent, I'm not hung up in a material world, I am, you know, in a divine flow, in a free fall, I'm flying. That's like the upside of spectral, and it's really wonderful. And you know, here's my diagnosis or prognosis, and it's, you know, I'm not trying to be cynical, I don't even want to be right, because I like it when the spectral energy feels like the liberation. That's one of the words that Jose Arguelles chose. But probably in, you know, 7 or 8 days, when we get to the shape-shifty part of the moon, the third week in the west, you know, we might be in the more tortured part of the spectral tone, which is just like, okay, everything is falling apart and I can't fucking take it. Like, I don't think we can get through the spectral moon individually where we're just flying. And it's not because we have to crash. I just think that every one of us has to face like, you know, what flying is when you're human is it's not really safe forever, you know, like you have to get caught. And in that moment of wondering if you're going to get caught in the spectral tone when it lasts for 28 days, you will face fear and kind of like, no, wait, I want to be standing on something. This is too much freedom. And, you know, I miss it. I miss when I had all my shit together in the planetary moon, when I had everything lined up, and now it's just all, you know, dissolving. That will be some part of each of our spectral moons experience, you know. It's just that we're in a lunar year where things are really polarized, and we get to maybe right now I'm having splendor wonder rather than, well, I have a story to tell, so I'm going to circle back to that. I'm post torture and in splendor. So we'll get there. That it's part of my soapbox. It's the soapbox part of the podcast. So maybe you're having like everything's falling apart. Shit is falling apart. Lisa Starr, shit is falling apart. And I'd be like, oh, well, it's a spectral tone. It's not because you're failing. It's the time of the year. Think about it. You know, it's kind of a northern hemisphere centric here, but think about how spring operates, because the spectral moon is always May. It is the time when growth, green growth, if you get rain, and flowering is just going crazy, and weather is warming. And all of that seems kind of like spectral tone. Just like, blah, you know, winter is way over. We are undone, liberated, let's go. So that's part of the spectral energy that I sort of equate to orgasmic. Like, it's the best kind of letting go. Flowers in bloom, orgasms. So, okay, and now I'm not embarrassed. I just feel like, okay, you know, you can't talk about orgasms in this context without someone listening being like cringing. So I apologize for that. I'm going to go with storytelling. It is a lecture, and I feel really sad about bringing some of this material to the listenership, but, you know, the whole thing here in natural time, the podcast, as well as maybe, you know, my view on the movement, is that it also helps us as humans try to find out what it is for each of us ourselves to be natural and authentic, that this path of following more natural totems in our daily process is, you know, a way of paying a court, paying homage to all these things outside our own human consciousness, thinking like, oh, I'm a plant now, yellow seed, you know, and then by not being so self-centered, we have also an understanding of ourselves, because there is less ego conflict. And I'm like the queen of surviving huge perfectionistic self-loathing. I'm still surviving cycles of it. So I do have a giant ego in the sense of a tortured, you know, self-image. So I just try to shave away at that. So anything I'm saying here is just part of my process. But I was vaccinated last week. And I guess, I mean, what day was it? It was a crystal day? I'm going to do the math really fast because I can be fast. It was Wednesday and I'm counting backward in my head. Intermagnetic. Yeah, it was crystal. White crystal win, right? And That's how I universalized my experience and paid attention to the collective, because when you're super biologically sensitive as I am, then working up my antibodies against you know, synthetic toxic infusion is really, really uncomfortable. And it was 2 days the first time and 2 days the second. So for me, I gave 4 days of feverish discomfort to being part of the movement towards herd immunity that will help the whole planet heal from the threat of coronavirus, and it's been really difficult for me because my four closest friends are not getting vaccinated, and I'm speaking about how heartbreaking that has been for me to integrate my belief that we here on this path, this is how this is related to Mayan astrology. I talk really overtly and graphically, and I think sort of indulgently, meaning I get kind of pumped up about it and evangelical about it. Like, white mirror is the basis of how this path is different than romanticization of spirituality. So is Christianity. It's all about Jesus being crucified all the time, and he rises. This is all working up toward the white mirror moment of human sacrifice, and then we rise. So I'm not saying, oh, this is different than any world spirituality. That's not what I mean. It's just different than denying that for the Maya, sacrificing humans was not malicious, hateful, immoral, grotesque. Although it feels that way, if I were to actually have to watch something like that or imagine how that act went down, it seems really, really invasive. But as we move through white mirror moments and we build towards the white mirror moment, followed by blue storm, followed by yellow sun, it is to understand that sacrifice is a sacred offering of self to the heavens so that we can feel close to heaven ourselves. And when we lose things in life, when we hurt, when our heart is broken, when, you know, we lose chances, opportunities, we lose people, we lose relationships. I mean, everybody knows what that feels like. It's heartrending, and that's all connected. And so sacrifice is something that we're supposed to have a musculature for. If we follow the Mayan code, where you're like, okay, this sacrifice is hard, but I will endure it. Because my argument is that if we avoid making sacrifices, we are avoiding reality and authenticity and balance among humanity. Like, some people have to sacrifice some stuff, you know, it can't always be the same people. Anyway, the soapbox part of this is just like, I understand my friends that I'm referring to have all different beliefs about why they wouldn't get vaccinated. And I'm not trying to talk about their experience here. I'm just talking about how there's something very connective about the suffering that might be associated with the imperfection of our vaccination system. We had to push and rush something together, and it's not the most pleasant experience for some people. It's nothing. For some sensitives, it's extreme, worse than mine. Of course, there are terrible incidents of people actually being the percentage that we lose them through vaccination, but I am speaking of our willingness to, you know, trust that, you know, giving up our own comfort or exposing ourselves to discomfort is part of this path, at least the one that I'm offering up in the podcast form and in my writing. I'm not an enforcer. Like, you can come to this listening experience for all different reasons, and there are a whole bunch of other teachers of this astrology, and you can just pick and choose and find your true blend. I don't mean pick and choose so that you're like only getting the good stuff, but, you know, find your blend. I'm just sharing with you, like, this is the blend of my accumulated exposures to spiritualities and upbringing, and also all of the dissemination of my many cycles through the Zolk'in and the 13 moons. So there you go. That, I had to get that off my chest. And that was a spectral experience to go and sort of hopefully and cheerfully get the needle jab and then really feel terrible and just be like, wow, I hate this, and it feels like death in my body. And you know, when you're in it, it feels endless, and then it's over, and there's some kind of amazing celebration that was opened in my life regarding hearing the band and dancing that came after I had my little roll through darkness and pain. It seems like that is what nature is about. So, okay, let's go into some future telling, because I feel like I took you guys on quite a ride, and I want to give you something back for being present to that. I listed the days to come. The second week of the moon is in the north, and so it's about spaciousness and spirit, and I don't feel like we have to make a lot of predictions. Try to enjoy the spectral moon taking us into like the expansiveness of spirit. That seems like promising to me. And meanwhile, these portals that we're moving through, I think you might be listening, if you listen on Monday, to Blue Self-Existing Hand. That's a day when everything's sort of aligned to get something done with your hands. So it's a day of accomplishment, which is what's nice about Blue Hand. It really is. Getting things done, that's a great feeling. And then it's a self-existing day, which is, you know, about creating form. And sometimes it's just planning, but a lot of times it's like planning decisively. So I think that the idea of form-oriented decisiveness coupled with the Blue Hand accomplishment just means that it's a day where you could probably take something on and get results. I really do hate future telling. This was actually, I was just trying to throw out the day names for the 3 days that are coming so that you're thinking about them as they roll along. Then Tuesday will be Yellow Overtone Star. I'm kind of planning for that one. I love that day. I had a art friend when I was growing up, and he was Yellow Overtone Star, and he's just was, it was everything. He was an artist and he was radiant. So it's kind of another doubling, like Blue Self-Existing Hand is kind of like double, similar tone, similar tribe. And so is Yellow Overtone Star. You know, overtone is about being radiant and five-pointed. And so is a lot of our iconography around Yellow Star. So that would be a great day to look good, which will be accidental. I think you'll find yourself at some point in the day being like, whoa, I kind of got dressed up. COVID is over. I'm wearing my dresses again, or something, some makeup, or I don't know what a man's version of that is. But that kind of petty beauty can creep easily into a Yellow Star day, but also some kind of magnificence around your own art expression. I've talked about a lot about how Yellow Star is also warring. And overtone and war are similar. The shadow side of Yellow Star and overtone are very similar, being really commanding. Like, wow, right? She's so dynamic when she talks about her vaccine experience. And then also, like, too commanding, just being a big boss lady. Was she, like, implying that I should go get vaccinated? Wow, cheeky. So Yellow Star has that duality as well. Okay, so I'm going to really quickly say then Red Rhythmic Moon, which is, I don't think that's the same. I think rhythmic is about getting organized and Red Moon is about flow. And I think in some way they're pretty divergent. So that'll be balanced, and that'll be Wednesday, and I'll be talking again. I'm throwing out here in the last 35 seconds, like, shoot, you know, I wanted to just remind you it's a blue lunar storm year that's now spectral. I just wanted to remind you, as I mean, I pay attention to politics still, maybe a little less compulsively, but still with fever, and we're still super polarized. Like, it's sickening how polarized we are. Even my little vaccine treaties showed that I have a different belief system than some of the people closest to me in my life. And that feels terrible. It's polarizing. You know, I don't feel like I'm doing it. I feel like I'm observing it, and it's painful to observe. And it's part of this year, and it will end. We'll be together talking about the yellow electric seed year that's next. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.